We've got to go live at some stage, Sam. We've got to go live at some stage. Guys, good evening. Welcome, YouTube, to this next episode of FPL Family. This is going to be one of the more torturous FPL families that I'm going to have to sit through, at the very least. Barkley has just scored Villa's fifth goal of the night. Absolutely unbelievable result at Villa Park. I mean, I genuinely don't know what's going on with football, with FPL, with anything. Not just this weekend, but this season has been incredible. And this result is blowing my mind. I tweeted at half time that I genuinely can't put my finger on what's going on here.
I don't know. Aston Villa is second. They've played one game less than everyone else.
I know.
And they're second in the Premier League.
But forget that. Before this, they'd played Fulham and 10-man Sheffield United. So, all right, two wins out of two. Fair enough. 5-1 against us. I mean, we're not exactly rubbish. I just don't know where it's come from. I know the first goal was obviously an Adrian mistake. All right,
they happen.
But listen, after that, it's been
5-1.
Been absolutely awful. It's absolutely awful. But then,
I mean, Klopp's got to be raging because, you know, this weekend, massive results across Manchester in particular, and the opposition to you guys for winning the league.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge results. Perfect opportunity to go to Villa Park, get 3 points, get yourself up the top of the table. And then this.
I've got no idea.
What is this?
No idea, guys. Anyway, welcome to FPL Family, guys. We'll be doing a bit of a watch-along for the remainder of this game, unless I get really thoroughly annoyed. If it gets to 6 or 7, then I'm turning it off. but we're going to watch along for a little bit. Who's this coming on? Curtis Jones is coming on now. It'll be interesting to see who makes way. One of the more defensive centre midfielders, I suspect.
Bless him. He's at
probably
home, in isolation. And now he's got to watch this load of nonsense.
Well, it's a bizarre one. It's a real bizarre one. How many
minus points is Trent currently getting me?
What I will say...
7.5.
The other thing to say is that, yes, we've been very, very bad, but credit to Villa. I think Villa have been outstanding.
They have.
Ollie Watkins with his first hat-trick in the Premier League. Absolutely brilliant. And actually, the Villa fixtures don't look too bad going forward.
No,
so he's now an option, right?
Yeah, because I just said to you, like, I'm on the scout for a Shea Adams replacement after today. Like, today was my kind of like, right, you get another week, good fixture,
5.9,
blah, blah,
Ollie
blah,
Watkins.
Blah. 5.9, same price as Shea Adams, straight swap. Come in, played 2 games, got goals in both the games, looked really good again today. Aston Villa on a riot. The fixtures look quite nice. All right, they've got Leicester next, but we've seen from today that you can score against Leicester. And then after that, there's a really nice run of fixtures, which doesn't really get difficult until Boxing Day, just after Christmas.
Wow.
I mean, there's a couple of iffy ones in there, but it's after Christmas that they have like a really tough run. I think they've got Man United, Chelsea and Spurs. So they're quite tough, that kind of into the new year period. But hell, I'm quite happy to have Ollie Watkins between now and then if they're going to play
right,
like this.
He? Looks all right. Listen, let's get into the chat and say hello to a few people, Sam, while we are watching along. Azzy's in. How are we doing, Azzy? Says, tomorrow's headline, Sunday roasts. Mate, it could be. It's been, I mean, we will get, obviously, to all of the other games in good time. I mean, you're absolutely buzzing with, as Minamino goes close. No, keeper's got it. You're obviously buzzing with what was happening before in the game. And we got to talk about that a bit later on. With the goings on at Old Trafford, it was absolutely an incredible game. And just when you think it couldn't get more incredible this Sunday, this result pops up, which is absolutely incredible. Now, listen, I'm going to sit here with my red goggles and I'm going to say Adrian mistake, McGinn deflection, Barkley deflection, you know, tight offside. So you can't keep making mistakes. There's no doubt, 5-1, you can talk about mistakes until the cows come home. It's 5-1, you've got battered. And we have got battered tonight.
And all right, you're missing Alisson. And we've said before that when Alisson doesn't play, it has a massively disruptive... It's massively disruptive to your defence. We saw that last season. And we're missing Mane. So we are missing two key players from this Liverpool team today.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, you've still got 9 first-teamers out there. It's not that bad.
No, absolutely. And listen, you know, the player that's come in for Mane is Diogo Jota.
And he's done...
Just paid £30 million for him. So, all right, he might not be fully up to speed yet, but...
No, but has been really... You know, when he's come on the last few... Here we go. Oh... It's the Egyptian king.
At least Mo has found his scoring boots. I mean, what is Salah? Who's just made it 5-2, guys. So Salah scores. If you've captained Salah this week, guys.
Why have I not captained Salah?
He looks to be the one because, you know, again, we look around all of it. And we'll, of course, guys, we'll do our FPL debrief as usual here on a Sunday night.
That'll be a red arrow as well.
You actually look around the rest of the FPL captaincy options this game week. And it's been tragic from start to finish. So if you did happen to stick the captaincy armband on Salah, despite the 5 goals we've conceded, he's got the 2 for us. So he looks like the right captaincy choice amongst all of the Ings and Jimenez and KDB and all of that, right?
Gomez just gone off.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's had an absolute stinker. That's one of the worst performances I've seen Joe Gomez ever do. And of course, you know, Twitter was all over Adrian's back on the first one. Of course it was, but it needs to get onto Gomez's back. We had this at the beginning of last season as well. Gomez did not show up for at least the first 7 to 8 game weeks. And actually, the best we've looked... He knows he's had a bad game. Look at him, he's sitting there. He knows he's had a bad game. The best we've looked so far defensively at Liverpool this season is when Fabinho dropped in there and basically put on a bit of a centre-back masterclass against Chelsea. Now, I know that Chelsea did not attack with the same gusto that Villa have attacked with tonight. But listen, he looked calm, he looked assured, and all right, he had Alisson behind him. I know lots of ifs and buts, but I do wonder whether Klopp's long-term plan is to put him back there with Virgil and put Thiago in the 6. I do think that's an option. I do think that's an option. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Gomez maybe getting a few less minutes because he has not looked good at all this season so far.
No, he hasn't. But I wonder, you know, I'm looking at this Liverpool team and I'm wondering what the hell's going on. And part of me is now starting to think about, you know, the clubs that there's been a COVID case and you've lost the player, Manchester City, for example, Liverpool now, there has been something wrong with the team. Like, it's almost as if mentally it has an impact on what's happening across the rest
of the
team.
Look at that there.
Because this isn't
Did
Liverpool.
You see that?
Yeah, but it is
Adrian rolling it out, and he's just rolled it out, and he's just it's inviting pressure.
It is.
Why did you roll it out there?
But do you know what I mean? Like, this is... Okay, take Adrian and Alisson away. And just look at the rest of the team. The rest of the team, even without Mane, like you say, Jota's there, and he's had a good start to his Liverpool career, I would argue. Should have actually had more than he did last time when Salah took it off his boot. On Monday night. So I wonder if there's a mental impact of the COVID thing, because Gundogan and Mahrez and all that unsettlement that was happening in Man City, they've had a poor start.
That was in the news before the 5-2 Leicester, wasn't it, if I remember rightly?
Yeah. And so I'm kind of like, is there something more to this? Like, all right, you lose a player to COVID, but actually, does it have a mental impact on you? Like, is it that kind of like, you're prepped for a game, you know roughly how it's going to be, you've been planning for the tactics because that's the team you're setting out, and then your player goes, and does it actually have a psychological impact on them? Because I cannot understand how Liverpool play like this. I cannot understand it.
It was bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. I mean, let's see what happens at the end of the game. We've got half an hour to go. If we can score in the next 5 to 10 minutes, there's every chance we can get something out of the game. But frankly, we wouldn't deserve it the way that we've defended. And Villa... 100% worth the victory. Listen, if you're a United fan, get in the chat and give me some pelters, guys, because I was giving it during the Spurs United game. No doubt about it. I mean, I was, even before the game, I was looking at the United bench and tweeting, you know, there's nothing on that bench that inspired me at all on that United bench today. But then they got into the game, started well enough. First 45 seconds, Martial gets the wrong side of Sanchez. I don't know what Sanchez is doing there. It's terrible defending.
Having a moment.
You'd think that given the amount of penalties that United won last season, defenders would not do that in the first 2 minutes of games. But he did. And Fernandes gets his usual points. But then after that, it just went from bad to worse for United. Give us the... Before we get to Spurs, because that is probably going to be quite a big section of this live stream, give us your thoughts on Manchester United. Tell us about that performance. Because it'll cheer me up.
I mean, it was bad, but like it started off, and it was unnecessarily bad because it started off so well. Like, they started off really well. Penalty in 30 seconds. Fernandes puts them 1-0 up, laughing. All you've got to do at that point is be calm. Control the game.
Oh, Barkley's almost in for... Oh, he's almost in for another one there, Barkley.
We're terrible, normally, if we go behind. We're not very good at coming back from it. So... all they've got to do is control the game. And then within, less than 3 minutes, we go up the other end and we score. Then the incident with Martial happens. And that incident with Martial getting sent off, it messed with their heads. And to be honest, Manchester United were incredibly lucky to finish that game with 9 men.
Yeah.
They were incredibly lucky to finish that game with 9 men. They are lucky...
10 men.
Not to finish the game with 9 men. They are lucky that Luke Shaw is not missing from the next week's game, because that was an appalling foul. They are lucky that Pogba didn't go for a stupid foul. There were so many incidents during that game. Bailey could have gone to a ballet or whatever it's called.
There was something after the game that Gary Neville said. And you know me, I'm a Liverpool fan. I don't mind Neville. Actually, I think Neville's actually a really good pundit. But he's a good pundit. but he's not a good commentator when he's commentating on us. He's so negative, but you can see why. But anyway, he's a great pundit. But what I like most about him is that he's honest.
Mm.
He's not like, to be honest, Carragher can sometimes be, be a bit Liverpool biased. Neville's not. Mm. If Neville spots problems with United, he'll come out and he'll just say it. And actually, after the game, he was saying about the fact that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, some of the stuff that was going on over the summer, some of the Greenwood stuff that was going on with England, some of the, you know, we haven't got Sancho.
They had COVID as well with Pogba.
They had COVID with Pogba. I'm just going to stop because it looks like Villa might get a sick theory.
Oh my God, it's another deflected goal.
This is unbelievable, guys. Honestly, unbelievable. Aston Villa 6, Liverpool 2, and it's the third deflected goal
Even
in this
Klopp
game.
I can't believe it.
It's incredible. I'm not making excuses because we haven't been good enough.
I mean, that's a Fabinho own goal. That's not going to go down as a Grealish goal.
I'm not making excuses. We haven't been good enough, but that's three deflected goals. It's unbelievable.
But how does it end up there? Look where you are with the ball. You're in control.
Firmino
of the ball.
Can't lose it there, can
Firmino
he?
Just gets run off the ball. What is happening? There's got to be something psycho. Oh my God.
Dearie me.
That's a Fabinho own goal.
It is a Fabinho own goal.
Oh my Lord.
It might
gets
be on target from Grealish.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's a cross.
It's not. It's definitely a shot. It's 100% a shot. He's just got
it's not on target. It's no. If it's a shot, it's not on target.
What
that's
I don't
Fabinho
like to see
goal.
Is Fabinho shying away from it like that. I mean, he shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't be doing that. Anyway, it's going from bad to worse for Liverpool by 6-2. Another deflected goal, which is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Klopp can't believe it, and nor can I, to be honest with you. Al, they've scored 6. They've played very, very well. Don't get me wrong. They deserve to be winning, but 6 is absolutely incredible.
Going back to Carragher and Neville.
But the Neville comment I was going to make was that Neville was saying that, you know, with all the Sancho stuff that's going on, and that, you know, it looks like they're going to get Cavani now, which it feels like a little bit like the Falcao transfer, feels a little bit like the Ighalo transfer, feels a little bit like last minute rush and maybe desperate
panic
times.
Yeah.
You know, Gary Neville was saying all of that sort of negativity that surrounds the club, all of a sudden you get something go against you in a game like that. And United, I think, rightly felt hard done by the red card. By the way, I think it is a red card for Martial, but it's possibly a red card for Lamella as well. Either way, United, I think you're right, let it mentally affect them.
Yeah.
And that negativity that's surrounding the club, all of a sudden they were just like, oof, and you could feel there was just weight on their shoulders, yeah, and they mentally lost the game.
They did. 100%. And I don't disagree with you either. And I said that when we were watching the game and we saw what happened with Martial on the replay. And I was like, Lamella's going to be really lucky to escape something here because he's hitting first.
Firmino off for Milner, by the way, guys. That's a big problem. That's, sorry to cut across you. When there's no Henderson, there has to be Milner. When there's no Henderson, there has to be Milner. He's there's just that leadership, that grit is missing without those two both in the team.
Yeah, but now
shouldn't be 6-2, but you know.
But now you've got to get 4 goals, and now you're down of all the goal scoring, you know, the front three that you normally play, you're down to just Salah now. Now, obviously Salah's a great player, but fundamentally, to be without now Firmino and Mane with him up there, that's a problem for me. So going back to what I was saying, I think Lamella was incredibly lucky to escape any action on from the referee.
Not even a yellow with that, by the way.
I think, yeah, I mean, the reality is you see that kind of, you know, get off me all the time, shrugging, hits you around the face. You get a yellow card for it, usually. I guess that there wasn't enough. I don't know. But my view was the same. I was surprised to see Lamella get nothing. But what it did was I don't even think it really spurred us, but what it did do is it drained United. You could see it. You could see them go. And at the point where they just conceded, to then have that happen and then concede quite quickly on the back of that happening, it was just a negative spiral of despair. And then, as you said, there was nothing on the bench. So when it came to changing things up, they just didn't have an outlet. They didn't. They had Van de Beek on the bench, but he came on so late.
But again, same as Liverpool here, inexplicably bad defending. And we, guys, by the way, can you remember a Premier League season where we've had as bad defending as we've had in the first 4 game weeks of this season? That is why we're having so many goals. That is why, and forget the VAR and the penalties thing for a minute, that's exacerbated it. But the defending in this Premier League has been absolutely tragic.
So,
and it's making FPL very, very difficult.
So on Friday night, Saturday morning, some point over the weekend, I can't even remember now, they've all blended into one. We were having a conversation about wildcarding, and you were saying, I'm going to wildcard because I want to have
Trent and Robbo was a key reason for
that
wildcarding.
That was
a key
thing behind it. Now,
Salah is back defending here.
I'm looking at my team now, and I'm thinking, I have invested 7.5 million in Trent. Now, I understand all the stuff that we all talk about attacking returns and all of that business. But I go back to the fact that fundamentally, you buy a defender because they keep clean sheets. So you get your 6 points, and then anything on top of that is a bonus. I'm looking at my Southampton defenders, who seem to be able to get clean sheets at 4.5, double Southampton. That's working out nicely. And I'm looking at Trent thinking, why on earth am I invested so much in you at the moment? And I'm seriously tempted to take the money out of him until Alisson's back, because I don't see any clean sheets while Adrian's in goal. 4 weeks is 4 to 6 weeks, I think I heard. That is a long time. Now, yes, there's going to be attacking returns in that time.
He hasn't shown anywhere near what he was showing last season.
He's been sharing
in terms of
the corners
returns
and stuff with Robertson, who's cheaper. So, it's
definitely a strategy.
I certainly don't think that there's any cause for the double up. And sorry, Kunkaram, but the treble up is definitely not on.
If you had 7.5 million burning hole in your pocket right now, oh my God, he's
in.
Onside here.
Oh my Lord.
He's in for number...
Adrian saved it
for a change. Could have been offside, but let's see. No, if you had 7.5 million burning a hole in your pocket right now, would you have Trent or James Rodriguez?
James Rodriguez.
All day long.
All day.
All day long. I wouldn't have any defenders in FPL right now. It's criminal. I think you're right about Southampton. And fair play, again, great call from you a couple of weeks ago where Saints get embarrassed by Spurs and all of a sudden they sort of turn it on and they go, well, ain't that, that's not happening again.
Yeah.
Same as Leicester last season.
They need
that's
that.
Not happening.
Southampton,
and then they've gone back-to-back clean sheets now.
Yeah, I think Southampton are back.
Let's see if Watkins is onside here. Oh, I tell you
what. He would have been on, I think.
No, I think he's just off, to be honest, but it's very, very close.
Well, look, I think with Southampton, and I said it a couple of weeks back after that incident with Spurs, you hold your Southampton players, they will improve. And my goodness, they've had two, like though McCarthy and Carl Walker-Peters have been brilliant for the last couple of weeks for me. Double clean sheets. McCarthy with 9 points today, Carl Walker-Peters with 5. In a game week where nobody's getting clean sheets.
That's gold, isn't it?
That's golden.
Absolute gold,
it's utterly golden. And I'm looking at my team with Trent. And because it's Trent, you can never bench him. You have to just play him because
What is this here? What is that from Adrian? I'm not being funny, but it's not all him. I don't want to keep negging on Adrian, but we've just tried to play out from the back there, and he just booted it over Trent's head out into play in a position in our third where they can now mount an attack from that. I just don't. The guy is unbelievably bad. He's unbelievably bad. I would love somebody, and I should have done this before coming to the live stream. I'm sure one of you guys out there will do this for me. Find out how many clean sheets Liverpool kept when Adrian started last season. I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be many.
I bet it's none.
It ain't going to be many.
Because I remember having the same conversation with you at this stage last season when Alisson was injured.
Yeah.
Is do you hold Trent through the Adrian thing because you're basically holding him for attacking returns. Now, last season, the attacking returns were still on. But with Trent this season, he's not on as many set pieces because he's not taking as many corners. He's been sharing them with Robbo. He's not getting as far forward. Robbo seems to be far more advanced than Trent is most of the time. I mean, where is Trent at the moment? Here he comes. Look, he's well behind. Go on, Salah.
It'll still get you the points, look.
Will it?
I still expect him to come good. But at the minute, while Adrian is in goal, you need the attacking points.
I agree.
And at 7.5, the most expensive defender in your team, because there isn't a more expensive one, he's got to get something every week at 7.5. Because at 7.5, you can go and get a Rodriguez.
Well, I'm looking at my team and I'm thinking, if I downgrade you to a 5.5 million defender, then I can take Potence to Son. And I can have the double Spurs attack.
You say that though, Sam, but who would you have at 5.5?
Who cares?
I was looking at the defenders in FPL and I'd looking at literally the whole list of defenders thinking, I don't fancy any. And again, we'll come to this a bit later in the stream, guys, because I am considering playing the wild card. In fact, I'm pretty sure I am going to play the wild card. One of the reasons I wanted to play it was to go double Liverpool defence, but clearly that's off the cards as far as I'm concerned. But there's other reasons I want to play it, which I'll come to a bit later on. But when I was playing the wild card and I was taking out like Reece James, who I think is a problem for me now. I'll talk to you about that in a sec when we get to that game. Taking out Lascelles, who I think was probably a bad pick in game week one.
I don't know, their fixtures are good and he will be back.
Yeah, maybe. He might stay. I was looking down the list and I thought, who do I actually want? I've got Carl Walker-Peters. He's probably going to stay.
Have you got a Wolves defender?
Oh, God, Grealish is in for 7 here and I think he's onside.
He's going to get it as well. Oh,
goodness me. It's 7-2, guys. It is 7-2.
That's through Adrian's legs. It's gone through his legs. It's nutmeg.
Absolutely unbelievable. If anybody's got Grealish, fair play. Has he got a hat trick now?
No, two or three. Because Fabinho, I don't think it
was. What is going on there? What is going on? I just cannot figure this out. 7-2. We've got to have a look at this again. Why is Salah muttering something under his breath?
Salah's probably fuming.
Let's have a look at this. He's onside because he's in his own half. But even if he was in our half, I think Fabinho is so deep that he's keeping him on anyway. Trent just gets done by the ball so easily. Guys, it's incredible. I keep saying how badly we're playing, but don't take anything away from Villa. They've played very, very well indeed here. Very, very, very well. Really good. Really good. Van Dijk is absolutely having kittens here. It's been terrible, guys. I can't even tell you why. It's been absolutely terrible. Just while we watch the last 15 minutes of this game, because
Ollie
it
Watkins
could get...
has got an assist and three goals.
It could get worse for Liverpool. It really could
Jack
get worse.
Jack Grealish,
here.
Three assists and two goals.
So that's going to be... That's unbelievable. I think Mr. Southerns has got Grealish in his team, by the way. I don't know whether he's played him in this game. I assume he has. I hope he has. Well, that is a hell of a haul.
I think if you own Grealish, you don't bench him because he's not going to be your fifth choice.
You'd like to think you've got better options for the bench than Grealish, yeah. So fair play to Mark. He has got Jack Grealish in his side.
Wow.
I doubt that you bought Grealish in for this fixture, but with, what, three assists and two goals?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Ollie Watkins, three goals and an assist. I mean...
The thing with these games is... What surprises me about this season and why, you know, I'm finding FPL so flipping difficult this season, guys, is that these sort of games where Liverpool lose 7-2 or City lose 5-2, they happen like once a season, don't they? These rogue games, they happen once a season. We're getting one or two a week at the moment, aren't we? In what world do Spurs go and put five past Man United at Old Trafford?
Six
past Man United at Old Trafford.
Don't do a sad
In what one. World do Leicester go to the Etihad and Vardy gets two penalties and they win 5-2? It just doesn't happen. In what world do Liverpool go to Villa Park and lose 7-2?
In a world
it doesn't
where,
happen.
In a world where
and it's happening
got,
every single week.
But what everyone... Okay, so the penalties have had an impact, but they've had less of an impact this week because they've
that
changed
That is for
it.
Sure. That
so,
is for sure.
Yes, up until this week, yes, the penalty thing has been a nightmare. It has been a nightmare. But now we're looking at a time where I do genuinely think, and we've said this to each other privately a number of times. I don't know if we've said it live or not, but we've privately said to each other, the no fans in the stadium makes a big difference. And it does it for a couple of reasons. Mostly because the attackers have nothing to fear. Because they're not going to get screamed at if they miss, because there's nobody there.
What's going on with the defences then?
Well, I just don't think...
Across the Premier League, this is... Very inept from Liverpool today, but across the Premier League, as I said before, defending is at a little bit of a premium. Has the crowd got something to do with that? Maybe
it's just that the attackers are having a go more and they're not afraid to have a go more,
taking more risks.
That it's having a negative impact on the defence just because there's more shots on. I don't know if there is more shots on goal, but it feels like there is. It feels like every time they attack, there's a shot. There's almost like a no fear thing, and you hear it from Kane and Son when you listen to them in the interview today, both of their interviews. They're not afraid to just have a go, and I think it's because there's nobody there to kind of reprimand them for it. Nobody's going to have a go at them. The fans aren't going to be on their back if they miss opportunities. So I wonder, actually, like Aston Villa, in a normal game, Liverpool going to Aston Villa, the fans would be tetchy about it. They'd be kind of, oh God, before the game, like, oh, I'm not sure about this, blah, blah, blah. So you maybe start a bit more defensively.
And the players feed off of that.
And the players feed that. I know I've sat at White Hart Lane on numerous occasions when the big clubs have come and you feel it. You feel the tension in the atmosphere and the players feel it and they start games slowly and they don't get into it as quickly. I'm watching them today. They go to Old Trafford as if, like, what of it?
No
just
pressure,
have a go.
Just
play it out and see what happens. And as a result, I think it has a bad impact on the defenders, which means for us as FPL managers, suddenly there's a wealth of options in the attacking element.
But we're getting these games where we have five, six, seven goals. I think it's the first time we've had
get
seven.
Get in the flow. They get in the flow, though.
We've had so many, haven't we? There's been so many.
Look at Aston Villa here. They've gone a couple up and gone... Yeah, all right, let's play it.
Let's just keep going.
And there's not that, right, hold it, restrict it, keep, you know, playback. That's not happening. The fans aren't on them. They're just having a go and they're going for it. And why not? Because they've realised they can get around your defence. So they are. It was the same with Spurs today.
This side, Gomez and Trent, it's definitely the side to target if you're going to play Liverpool. No doubt about it. And if you've got Adrian as well, it's also easy to defend when his Minamino could be in. He should be going down for a penalty there. It's gone out for a throw. Anyway, it's also easy to defend when Adrian's got the ball, because I've noticed teams starting to... they know that we like to play it out from the back, and they know that Adrian can't play it out from the back.
Yeah.
So if you go and stand on the side where Virgil and Robertson are, he's, you know, you've got this Gomez, Trent, Adrian. One of those is going to screw it up. One of those is going to make a mistake, yeah, if you put enough pressure on. And I'm, you know, I can't recall every single one of the seven goals here, but I remember
You don't want to.
I also don't want to, but there is a lot that has come down that side tonight. Villa have focused their attacks down that side. Leeds did the same. You know you're not going to get a lot of joy out of the Robertson and Van Dijk side, obviously. But on the other side, you can get at them too. You can get at Gomez and Trent, no doubt about it.
Henderson looking utterly bemused.
Well, anybody that questions Henderson, you know, in this side needs their head looking at, because he would not be standing for this. I tell you, he would at least be able to go.
That Villa are exuding here.
See, what's that? From
why has he not caught that? Catch that!
Adrian.
Oh, he's nearly put that through his own legs.
So iffy, isn't he? He's so iffy.
Just
anyway,
catch the ball.
We've got 10 minutes or so left of this game, guys. We are going
to
see it out. We've spoken a bit about Liverpool's...
Back to Spurs.
We've spoken about how bad Liverpool are. We've spoken about how bad Man United are. Let's talk about how good were Tottenham Hotspur today, Sam?
So I think before I get into Kane and Son, because that's obviously what everyone's going to want to...
Before you talk about that, Tips is in. Hey, Tips, how are we doing? He's saying two super chats missed. I'll be honest, I've been watching the game. I've missed the super chats. Thank you, Daniel Henkel, for the super chat. The four best defensive teams last season have lost 5-2, which was Man City, have lost 6-1, Man United, West Ham 4, Wolves 0, so Wolves, yeah, also conceding, yeah, left, right and centre, and then Liverpool, of course, during this game, and thankfully Daniel posted that super chat when it was only 6-2, but he could easily have upgraded that to 7-2. Tips are saying, how's that content creator's head-to-head match gone, Sam? That sounds like he might be beating you in a head-to-head. So thanks for that one, Tips. Anyway,
With Bissouma on my bench, probably.
Bissouma on the bench did sting for you a little bit this week, but nevertheless, I think a good week when we come to talk about your
team.
I'm
all right with my
week. I don't want to talk about FPL just yet. We'll do that in a bit. I want to talk about the football. I want to talk about Spurs. How good were they?
Yeah, let's talk about Son and Kane in a minute, because they deserve a lot of credit. But I want to start by talking about Højbjerg, because for me, Højbjerg is the reason. He is the reason why Kane is as good as he is.
Mm.
I cannot explain how delighted I am about Højbjerg. He is controlling the midfield. He is allowing Kane to play the game Kane wants to play. Kane can drop, he can go, he can do what he wants, because suddenly he's not got to fill in for the midfielders when they're not there.
I feel like with Kane, like without Højbjerg last season, so if Kane's up here in the number 9 and Højbjerg's here, last season without Højbjerg, he used to drop like this deep. He used to always
drop back here
and he'd sort of drop back in here and play really, really deep. Now, with Højbjerg there, he is dropping back because he's being more creative, but it's about here. And he's playing this sort of Firmino role now,
yeah,
where he's coming and dropping in, and it's really benefiting the players around him. And of course, it's benefiting Son. But I'm telling you, when Bale comes into that team as well, the speed and pace and trickery of those two, with Kane orchestrating in the middle and dropping, not super deep, but just dropping deep enough that he picks the holes... This is a whole new side of Harry Kane.
It's perfect.
To be honest with you, that I don't think any of us had seen much of before, which is, we know what he's like for scoring goals. We know what he's like for finishing top of the class, right? But this dropping deep and, oh my goodness me, it's going to be another one.
Oh my God.
Off the bar, Villa. Barkley misses the follow-up.
Oh, this is horrendous to watch.
Grealish for the hat-trick. You know, Milner just gets in the way.
It's
cringe, isn't it? It's absolutely awful to watch this. Absolutely.
It's not
awful.
Even my team, and it's making me...
It's absolutely awful. But Kane dropping into that slightly deeper role and picking the passes for the other two. And what I also noticed about Spurs, with Doherty and Reguilón there, and Aurier played all right today, but with the options you've got wide and the attacking options that you've got wide, I can see that actually Bale and Son start to play more central. Those other guys are going to overlap, aren't they? Bale and Son are going to drift into those central areas in the same way that Mane and Salah do. They are going to score a lot of goals.
It's so exciting. They're
going to score a lot of goals, them two. I think it makes Kane a really nice asset, but I think it makes Son and Bale fantastic assets. Seeing Gareth Bale in a Spurs shirt yet.
I'm so excited to see.
Could be great.
I think,
it could be great.
So I think for me, I said to you at the beginning of the Spurs game, when Son was back, I was like, right, I think the time has come to part with the man and replace him with Son. Because I think you need a Spurs. And I was like, you know, maybe I'm at that stage where Dominic Calvert-Lewin is hurting me so much every single
absolutely
week.
Absolutely on fire,
isn't he? I need to find that. That is missing in my team.
How good was DCL's first goal, by the way?
Unbelievable.
Proper Duncan Ferguson header, wasn't it?
And I can't,
so good.
And then, you know, there's only so many weeks that you can sit here and go, no, it's
he
all
can't
right.
keep it up. He can't keep it up. Not on penalties.
I can't do it again. It's not on penalties. I don't need him. It's not on penalties. I don't want him. I can't believe Everton are going to... And then every week they continue to play well. And then, so I'm at that stage where Dominic Calvert-Lewin is kind of nailed. I need to have him. But I'm looking at the rest of my team and I'm like, maybe Kane has to go. But it's all right because I can bring in Son. And then I watched Harry Kane today. There is no way that I want to take Harry Kane out of my team. The vision, the creativity, everything that he's doing. He's like Kevin De Bruyne on steroids when it comes to assists at the moment. And he's also scoring goals still at the same time.
He also looks fit and sharp.
And happy and loving
that's,
it.
That goes a long way sometimes with players like Kane, I think. Because we know what he's like for finishing. We know he's a good footballer. But when he's got that niggle, or when he's unfit, or when he's coming back from injury, he's a big fella. It takes him time to get match fit. And I actually wonder whether all of these extra games, and we know what Spurs' schedule has been like first month or so, it's been ridiculous. And Mourinho hasn't flogged him to death. He has brought him on in a number of games. But I wonder, having those extra games in his legs are actually just helping him.
I think so.
Have a bit more than some of the opposition defenders that he's coming up against.
I think it's helped us. I think the fixture congestion has helped Spurs.
It didn't help Burnley 2 years ago, and it definitely didn't help Wolves last year. But it's helping you guys.
No, but the squad size is different, isn't it? If you look at Burnley and you look at Wolves, their squads were much, much smaller, so they didn't have the opportunity to rotate as much as we do. Particularly with our midfield players, we've got a wealth of talent in the midfield. Like, there are so many options there, and even at, you know, wing, you know, fullbacks, and in central defence, there's at least three of them. Yeah, you've got Reguilon and you've got Davis on one side of the pitch. You've got Aurier and Doherty on the other side of the pitch. You've got Dyer and Alderweireld and Sanchez through the middle. There are so many opportunities there for rotation. And then when you get into the midfield, Ondombele, Højbjerg, Winks, Sissoko, there's just loads
of them. And he is using
them
all, isn't he?
And he's rotating them and he's using them all. And actually, in years gone by, Spurs never had a bench, really. No, they didn't. Because everybody was unhappy. If they didn't play, they were peeved. And they were kind of like sulk around like Danny Rose does. And it was hard as a Spurs fan because you'd have this nice team to start, but then there was nothing to come off the bench and improve things if you needed it. Mm. Whereas at the moment, I look at the bench and it's really exciting because you think if things are going badly, there's so many options with, you know, today, like he could bring on Moura and did for Lamela when he, you know, could have easily gone. But then you've got Bergwijn as well. There's Dele still. There's so many. Lo Celso, who didn't play today. So many opportunities and so many good players. And then, of course, you're going to add Gareth Bale to the mix. So that squad depth has been really helpful to us in managing the fixtures. Yes, we've had a lot of fixtures, but what it's done is it's brought us up to match speed really fast.
So who would you have in FPL if you were going to just pick one? And I know you're thinking of having more than one, as I'm sure many FPL managers are, but if you were just to have one, who would you have?
Son at the moment.
I think it's got to be Son, isn't it?
If you were going to just have one, for me right now it's Son, mostly because of how well Harry Kane is playing him. Like, Harry Kane is
the understanding between the two is unbelievable.
Yeah. In a week's time, I'd go Bale.
Could it be Bale?
Because Bale's going to be on set pieces. So you're going to add in the free kicks, suddenly you've got Kane putting in the kind of balls he's putting for Son. They'll be going the other way as well to Bale. You're going to have free kicks on him. Obviously, you've got to give it a cut. You've got to give it a couple of weeks because Gareth Bale hasn't played serious football consistently for a long time.
I think the expectation is that Bale will be... Oh, my goodness me, it's going to be another one. Oh. Good tackle from Millie. I think the expectation is that Bale is going to be a great FPL asset, and I do agree with you. But at 9.5, it feels to me like an unnecessary risk for 0.5 less. You can have someone who's absolutely on fire,
you can.
Got the fixtures, and then if Bale starts to score better than Son, which is going to be no mean feat, by the way, if Bale starts netting as many FPL points as Son is currently getting, you're going to be winning games 8 and 9-0. So for me, he's not worth the risk. I want to see Bale and what he does, and I'm going to get Son instead, I think. But I'll be keeping 0.5 back because, listen, Bale could go crazy. It could go crazy. But right now, Son is going crazy, and therefore that's why I'm going to stick with him.
I mean, it's...
It's exciting as a Spurs fan, though, because they're starting to click. He's starting to figure out. He's And interestingly, it's coincided with a couple of starts, I think, maybe even two or three starts in the league now for Tanguy and Ndombele. So we've said about Højbjerg, we've said about Winks and a few of the other players. But listen, Ndombele, as Liverpool struggled to defend it again in the 91st minute, Ndombele seems to be finding his feet in a Spurs shirt as well.
Yeah. And actually, and I know you don't always like Mourinho, but I genuinely think we've got to give Mourinho a bit of credit here.
I think so, yeah.
Because I think Ndombele... As Spurs fans, and I'm sure that there will be others in the chat at the moment who will say it, I was so excited when we signed Ndombele, and then it just was a bit meh for so long, and then obviously had a bit of a bad season last year with injuries and was in and out, couldn't get consistency, and then there was that chat, wasn't there, that we saw in the All or Nothing documentary with Levy and Ndombele, and at the end of that I thought, I can't see you lasting here. I don't think you've got the kind of drive about you.
Yeah.
He just sat there and was a bit like, yeah. And I thought, no, where's your fight? Like, have a bit of grit. Mm. And I think Mourinho was given that. And I think Mourinho has done... All right, and I might be wrong about this, but something was up with Dele Alli, clearly. The last two games, he came on against Haifa on Thursday night, and he came on today. Both of them, the best performances I've seen from Dele Alli in a hell of a long time.
It's starting to look like, and I hate to give... Mourinho a
he
bit of praise,
knows what he's
but it's
doing.
Starting to look like fantastic man management.
He knows
from
what
Mourinho.
He's doing.
Because with Dele in that team, and we said it a couple of live streams ago about the pressing that you need to have, the team needs to press. If one person doesn't press in that team, it all falls apart.
Yeah.
And Dele was not pressing. You saw it on Match of the Day, you saw it in some of the highlights, you could see he doesn't press
Watched
as quickly
today.
As the other guys. Mourinho drops him, says, get your act together, you ain't playing until you're going to commit to the cause. All of a sudden, he comes on today and he starts pressing. Now, listen, you were 5-1 up at the time, so...
But he did it against Maccabi Haifa as well on Thursday night, and he was really good in that game, and then he's come on today and he's been really good again. Now, look, I'm not saying that I think Dele Alli is suddenly an FPL asset again. I don't. But what I do think is that Mourinho is getting it right at Spurs in a way that he didn't before. And I think it comes from the fact that the Spurs players, and he kept saying it before, they're nice guys. They want to work for him and they'll buy into him in a way that there isn't really, apart from Dele and maybe Ndombele, there isn't really an attitude issue with anyone at Spurs. They all listen and they do what they're told to do, or they try to anyway.
Yeah.
They don't always do it.
Well, listen, the key's going to be the next start in the league that Dele Alli gets, because that is Jose saying, I now trust you again. I'm going to play you. But I don't see him getting in the team right now.
The good
honestly.
Thing about it is that obviously the rest of them are going out on international break now, playing up to three fixtures. Dele isn't going because he didn't get picked for England.
South Korea don't, by the way.
Son has had his two games postponed, so he's getting a nice break, having already had a nice break. And by the way, what man management and mind games that was from Mourinho, because clearly there was an out wrong with Sonny. But yeah.
All right, there we go. Game over, thankfully, at Villa Park. And goodness me, you know, Liverpool have been through some... We've had some fantastic games. I've loved watching Liverpool over the last, you know, certainly 2 or 3 years. we're going to turn that off. I've loved watching Liverpool over the last 2 and 3 years. But guys, honestly, that was a difficult watch. It was a difficult watch. Interesting to see what Klopp makes of that in his post-match, because it was...
Do you want to
listen,
watch Match of the
not
Day?
Not good enough. No, I'm probably not going to do that.
Hmm.
Although I'd be very up for watching the Manchester United game again.
Because I would quite like to watch Match of the Day tonight, but I'm not sure which game will be first.
So listen, let's get into the main page here. There's our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. I'm feeling a little bit down in the dumps after that and a not very good FPL week. So I'm sure the Man United fans are in the live chat ready to cheer me up, Sam. Josh, I'm sure he's in, ready to cheer me up. I'm absolutely
Well, Josh
convinced.
was not a happy boy about 3 hours ago, so we might not.
Abhishek is in. How are we doing, Abhishek? He's saying Cavani and Telles have signed for United. Listen.
Have they? Did they not turn around and run the other way after today?
That's all well and good, but Cavani is not what you need. And Telles is one of the most attacking fullbacks in the world. And you need fullbacks that are going to defend. I want goals. 15 is in. What was the scoreline again, Lee? Yeah, you give it to me as much as you want, guys. You give it to me. Listen, I've got a lot of personal...
Lee's friend, his phone in front of him here is going mental.
You guys can't see it, but my phone is going... The WhatsApp is going absolutely crazy.
But why is that? Is that because a bit earlier on today, you sent some abuse to the Man U fan?
Oh, I did.
In your WhatsApp group.
I was giving it quite a bit on Twitter, but oh my God, I was giving it in there. And they are now giving it straight back to me. But that is why I love them, and that's why they're doing it. One of them's a Newcastle United fan, by the way.
Sometimes
he's
in the chat,
isn't
he?
Jacob,
he
17.
Has the one yesterday.
Oh, listen, whatever. I mean, look, right, I've got that WhatsApp group going. I've got the second WhatsApp group, which is my new dad football friends on a Sunday, which is Max. This is the London Colney Colts dads giving it me. I've only known them 3 weeks and they're giving it me. That's because one of them's a Villa fan.
Well, I'm not saying
it's
anything, but you should have been. Spurs fan.
It's going to be a long night, guys. It's going to be a long night. John Tyner is here. How are we doing, John? Very nice to see you.
What's up, Spurs fans?
Spurs fans, get in the live chat.
Where are you?
Get in, Spurs fans.
I sounded like Delia then, didn't I? Where are you?
Where are you, Spurs fans? Where are you? Yasser Ali is in. How are we doing, Yasser? Very nice to see you. Rui Pinto, good evening, he says.
With all those emojis.
Joseph Perry is in. He's saying he's got Son on his bench. Why would you put Son on the bench? Crazy idea.
No.
Crazy idea. Abhishek, Chelsea and Spurs on fire. Yes, Chelsea playing very well this week.
Not Werner.
But very well this week, but let's see what they play. A bit Jekyll and Hyde at the minute.
They are
Frank's
it.
Team. Still not sure he's got the formula quite right, but we'll talk about them a bit later on.
Here.
Let's see. Matt Johansson is in. He just says, Coys.
Coys.
Coys. Mark Dorney is in. Hashtag Coys.
Yes, here they come.
Jeremy Baker.
Here they come.
Jerry Baker says, I'm here. Coys. Oh, dear me.
Here they are.
Spurs fans are going to be absolutely intolerable. The tactician, Spurs fan here. He's got Kane and Son in his team, Sam.
That's the stuff of dreams. I think that'll be me in a week's time.
Sweet. Liam Healy. Evening, Liam, Sam. Hey, Liam. How are you doing? Florin Sandu just says, I quit. See Florin's had it. He's gone.
The thing is, I also think that this season is not... So the seasoned FPL manager amongst us, this season...
Seasoned FPL managers, what, in this room?
Well, no, just in general. It's all kind of gone a bit wrong because all the players FPL. That you would normally rely on are just doing nothing.
If you think the football's crazy, the FPL is so hard, isn't it? It's so hard.
I'm taking the money out of Trent.
I've never...
It can go.
Honestly, in the 13 years I've played it, I don't think we've ever had a start like this. It is so unpredictable. It's so difficult to call. There's ridiculous scorelines left, right and centre. If you get... So, in FPL seasons gone by... If a player got a hat-trick, and that happened once a month maybe, you needed to be on him. And if you didn't get it, that was a big swing one way or the other for your rank. We're getting like 2 hat-tricks a week. And the ranks are just going like this. I have no idea. I think I'm like 1.7 million. I've got no idea.
Probably not now. Because you didn't captain Salah like I didn't. He was highly captained this week. So I bet you he's given us a red arrow. Yes, he has.
Kuch B is in. Thank you for the super chat, Kuch. He's saying, come on, Lee, cheer up. It's fine. They'll get up strong. They bloody need to after
Trent,
that.
Trent, minus one. £7.5 million.
For a minus one. But who are you getting?
Anyone else.
Mitchell?
Sod it. I'll have literally anyone. Any 4.5. No one keeps clean sheets anyway. I'll just get on another 4.5.
All right.
And be done with it. And then I can have Bale and Son and Kane.
All right.
Come on, you Spurs.
Sonny. I hate it. It's just unbelievable.
What is?
You're emotional on these streams. It's ridiculous.
It's brilliant.
Casey Skinner is here. Hey, Casey. How are you doing?
Well,
nice
they won't be happy. They're a Liverpool lot.
Yeah, not a happy household there. Hamza Siddiqui. How are we doing? Bjorn Peterson transferred Son out.
Oh
goodness me. Ruby Jane is here. Hi,
just
Ruby.
Just a quick shout out to Epion in Freer if she's in. Because she's done the Son hokey cokey and missed both halls.
Oh my goodness me. Goodness me, she won't be the only one.
No.
She will not
in
be
out.
The only one,
Let me tell you.
This is, as you guys are saying in the live chat, it is so 2020 so far this season. It is so 2020. Anyway, that
it's
is...
Kun Karam in because...
Well, I don't know.
You need to say congratulations to Kun Karam.
Oh, we do, yes.
Not because...
The triple Liverpool defence.
The triple Liverpool defence, because that, unfortunately, Karam has gone terribly. But because Karam got engaged this weekend.
Congratulations, Karam. and to the new missus. Yeah. Congratulations, Karam. And if you're in...
Are we getting invited to the wedding?
Whether we'll be able to fly over there or not, I've got absolutely no idea, dear. And
Karam, we're coming.
I'll bring the wooden spoon trophy because it's coming back to me again this season. I can feel it. Mark Dorney, thank you for the super chat. My worst ever start to FPL and I don't care. Mark, listen.
Yes!
We are all in the same boat. We are all in the same boat. I would not worry about it. It is one of those seasons right now where it is just so hard.
Do you feel like it's a throw the rule book out? It's just throw the FPL rule book.
It's crazy.
Have a Liverpool defender, chuck it out the window. Like all of these like things that you would normally do. Don't own more than one Spurs player, chuck it out the window.
If you captain, so the captain to have this week, weirdly, was Salah. And he's just lost 7-2.
Salah or Son or Kane?
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's captaining Spurs at Old Trafford.
No, KDB, Salah was I think the most highly owned.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
So if you had Salah, and a lot of people that I think that was because they heard the Mane news and thought, well, without Mane, they've got to rely on Salah, so let's go there.
Oh, here we go. Look, I've got the scores up, and happy days, we're only 2-0 down because I haven't refreshed it for a little while. Maybe I'll just keep it on 2-0. I'm going to hit refresh and I'm going to cringe and I'm going to squirm in my seat and I'm going to... Oh, next week. Okay. I'm going to look at game week 4 and look at 7-2. We've spoken enough about Liverpool.
How many goals is that again this weekend? Is that another record?
It's probably not as many as last week because there's a 1-0 and a 2-0 and a 1-1, but it's pretty close. I don't remember any 0-0s. Have we had a 0-0?
I don't think we've had a 0-0 yet.
I don't know.
We've had a 1-1.
I certainly can't remember a 0-0. Anyway, we've spoken about Liverpool. We've spoken about Spurs. We've got so much else to talk about, Sam.
What happened to Man City?
Cast your mind back. We will come to those in a second, but cast your mind back to Saturday lunchtime.
What happened then?
Here we go again. Chelsea 4, Palace 0. It's the penalties thing again. It's Jorginho. Get him in your teams. But also a very, very good debut for Ben Chilwell, who opened the scoring,
fantastic,
I think, in that game. 5.5 in FPL. Is he going to be worth the extra 0.5 over the likes of Reece James? And right now, I've got a problem with Reece James in my team, I feel, because he's got Ben Chilwell on the left side, who's he's just paid $50 million for and has had a great debut. He's not going anywhere. So RIP Alonso, by the way.
Well, I think he's going out.
And then on the right-hand side, he's got his captain, Azpilicueta. Now, had they played defensively poorly in that game, or that maybe they'd lost that game, you'd say, oh, well, that didn't work. Maybe put Reece James back in. That's the most accomplished performance Chelsea have had so far this season. Very good, very professional. By the way, no Kepa, the new keeper, comes in. That makes a difference as well. They've got Azpilicueta at the back, who, by the way, showed why he's so important from a non-footballing perspective with the furore around the penalty. Absolutely brilliant from Dave.
Perfect
there.
Captaincy.
Because he came up and there was all this, and I get it, Abraham wants to score, I get it, Timo wants to get off the mark, I get it. But Azpilicueta was like, no, Jorginho takes the penalties,
yeah,
go away. And they did as they were told. So brilliant captaincy, by the way, from Azpilicueta. Against the Crystal Palace side, who, let's not forget, had looked very good first two game weeks, very organised. I, for one, thought that would be closer than it was.
I did too.
Any Chelsea assets now on your radar, including a certain Mr. Pulisic who came back from injury in that game?
So Pulisic is the one I've been waiting for.
Yeah?
He's the one I've been waiting for.
8.3 now.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping he might be 8 by the time. By the time he came back.
Just
was,
go down a little bit more, that'd be good, yeah.
A bit more. I'm not sure yet how I feel about him straight away. Only because sometimes when you've had that longer layout from injury, you need a couple of games to just get back into it. And given...
Yeah. He looked pretty sharp, though.
He did.
Come on, look
He
right.
did. And but given the level of players that they've got in that midfield position, I wonder whether there might be a little bit more of going off, coming on, like a little bit of substitution work going on there. So it may be a week or two after the international break that I'll look to bring in Pulisic. Probably that's a wildcard job, to be honest.
Could be, yeah.
But I was really, really impressed by Chelsea defensively, and I don't say that very often. I think Reece James not being there is a problem, because actually they look better without him.
Do you know what, at half time I was starting to they didn't really create much first half, Chelsea, to be honest with you. It was a bit of a dull game, in all honesty. And when Frank's taken off one of his most creative players, I mean, Reece James, for all of, they haven't kept a ton of clean sheets so far this season, but he was creating a lot of chances and, of course, scored that wonder goal against Brighton. So he was getting the offensive points.
Mm.
I was cursing Frank. I'm saying, well, of course it's 0-0, Frank. You've just taken off one of your most creative players.
Mm.
And then they did what they did and actually got the result, and a very good result it was. The one thing I will say is that Sacco at the back had an absolute shocker for Crystal Palace. An absolute shocker. Not only has he just left a leg out for Havertz to fall over for the fourth goal, but he was defensively very, very poor. Very
well, that's
poor.
2020 for you.
Just before you comment on Chelsea, a super chat from George Malayi. Thank you, George, for the super chat. He's saying, switched from Salah captain to KDB as a Liverpool fan. Transferred out Son, and we just lost 7-2, and somehow Salah still got 12 points this season. That is this season, George. It is this season. It is. I'm finding it hard, mate, to be honest with you. You're coming on here every Sunday, trying to give you guys some FPL advice. I haven't got a bloody clue. I haven't got a clue what to tell you. Who to pick? Who's going to do well next week? I haven't got a clue.
The thing is, you can't... So we were recording Sam versus Lee last week.
Oh, that's going to go well, isn't it?
I picked James Maddison. Didn't make the squad.
Didn't play.
Didn't make the squad. He wasn't there. Picked Lacazette. Was on the bench. Honestly, what the hell?
Scout are going to be like, you're sacked. Get out of it.
Sorry, Chris. Andy, apologies. I think we might be sacked. Genuinely, though, what can you do? Like, Reece James has played quite well, then gets dropped. Now, I kind of was anticipating... Part of the reason I hadn't gone with the Chelsea defender was, one, because I don't trust the Chelsea defence with Kepa there, but two, was also because I didn't really understand how they would go. And I wrote that article pre-season about Chilwell and said... thought he could be an asset without Kepa, but not with Kepa, and we couldn't really work out how they were going to set up. But Alonso's the captain, Aspilicueta's the captain, he was never going to drop out, so that always meant there was a risk on Reece James's place. And I think now that risk is, well, it's more than just a risk, it's a thing now. I don't think
they played so well without him,
too well without him.
Give me a very, very quick thoughts. We've got so much to talk about this week. Very quick thoughts. Jorginho, then 5.1.
Yeah, why not?
Ain't ever going to get too many assists and goals, but you can get penalties.
Yeah, I mean, what did he get? Something like 12, blank, blank, 15 or something. Yeah. Now,
and you know he's going to take him, because even at 3-0 up, Azpilicueta's like, no, Tammy, sit down, Timo. Jorginho's taking him.
Yeah, I mean, I think the frustrating thing with Jorginho is that you're not likely to play him every week. You're probably going to be bench fodder, and then you're going to end up with 15 points on your bench.
Could happen. It could happen. But listen, at 5.1, suddenly represents reason. My phone is going absolutely crazy. In fact, right, take that, haters. It's going on flight mode.
Bye, boys.
There we go. So Chelsea 4, Palace 0. Transfer window's about to close. Didn't see much from Zaha. Was he a trap a couple of weeks ago if you brought him in? Were you right again, Sam?
What? I'm always right. Southampton, I was right. Zaha, yet again, I'm right. Nobody's interested, and he's gone, oh, I can't go anywhere again. Have a little sulk.
John Tyler's in the chat. He's saying, take a deep breath, Sam. Take a deep breath.
I honestly think Zaha is one of the most overrated players I've ever met. He only is good in the build-up to a transfer window, and yet somehow we all fall into this trap.
Well, I want to talk about a team that are flying high at the minute. It pains me to say it is the red side of Liverpool, but it's the blue side of Merseyside that is doing fantastically well this season, despite conceding two to a pretty good-looking Brighton team as well. Very, very pleased to have James Rodriguez in my team. To be honest, without him, I would have been absolutely all over the place this week. Two goals, an assist, a man-of-the-match performance. Yet again, Dominic Calvert-Lewin getting on the score sheet with just a goal in out of
six.
Four. Maybe expect him, you know, maybe DCL owners are looking at that going, maybe I would have liked more.
I felt like I got away with one, to be honest.
I did too. But listen, these guys are starting to get very difficult to ignore. Now, we have a different dynamic between you and I. You have no Everton at all. So I'm going to talk to you about how you plan to change that, if you do plan to change that in a second.
Yeah.
I have James Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And the thought of the Everton double up with the fixtures coming up. Now, they play Liverpool next. Now, I'm going to say this with a wry smile on my face, having just got battered 7-2. But suddenly, with Adrian in goal and that Liverpool defence, Rodriguez DCL as a double up suddenly might not look quite so bad.
Okay, so let's rewind to watching this game. So we sat together and watched this game. I don't know where the kids were. It was just you and me. And we were watching it. And at one point, you were like, oh, I don't know why I've got Rodriguez... Goes off injured.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we've run out of milk. I can't make a cup of tea. I'll nip into the shop. So I literally leave the house for 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Come back. And James Rodriguez has gone on a riot.
Yeah.
So do we feel that James Rodriguez is only a thing if Richarlison isn't on the pitch? Because...
Well... I want to give a shout out to Anthony Gary, one of our patrons in the Slack. So Anthony, if you're in, that's a fantastic shout out in the Slack. So we were having this conversation in the Slack during the game, And I said, you know, why is James, it felt to me on the eye test that he was drifting more central and pushing up more. And Anthony was just like, yeah, it's because Richarlison's not there. Maybe he's taking more risks, going back to this risk thing. You know, with the two up there, you've got DCL and then you've got Richarlison buzzing around him. Now, with Richarlison off, someone needs to get in and around DCL. Someone needs to be that connection between midfield and forward. And whether Ancelotti told him to or not, or whether he took it upon himself to do it because he's just that good a player, Rodriguez did that. He did that. Siggy hasn't got the legs for that, by the way, notice. Siggy is a very nice player, but he didn't have the legs to buzz around in the way that Richarlison does. Richarlison, like him or not, he's got a good engine on him. He will get about the pitch, and Siggy can't do that. I think that's part of the reason Siggy's not playing so much anymore, because, again, Everton are now, as under Ancelotti, like to press high. And in the same way that Dele Alli, if someone in the team's not doing it, Sigurdsson, then sorry, you're out.
You're out, yeah.
So Siggy can't do that. So James took it upon himself to gamble more. He took more risks. He had a bit more license to go forward, knowing that, you know, Decore was sitting in behind him and Tom Davis was there marshalling. And by the way, did a reasonable job in Alan's absence. Mm-hmm. And he was just in the box. And having watched him for the first three game weeks, James Rodriguez, I sat and I said, he's the assist of the assister. And I got pelters on Twitter, people saying, oh, two goals, he doesn't assist the assist. Listen, up until the point Richarlison went off, he has been assisting the assist all season. He's been very instrumental, very orchestrator.
And good.
Orchestrator, well. Is that a word? I don't know. But he's been playing very well, but in that sort of Modric-y role. As soon as Richarlison goes off, he gambles more and he's getting in the box. So I, for one, am keeping a really close eye on Richarlison's injury, because if Richarlison is going to be injured in the short to medium term, I think that makes Rodriguez an even better option than he was before.
Because for me, as a non-Everton owner, there's a quandary, right? Because I've got Harry Kane. The only way to get from Shay Adams to Dominic Calvert-Lewin is to downgrade either Trent.
Might be up for that now.
Or KDB.
Yeah.
Also might be up for that. Haven't decided yet. But either way, there's a downgrade of one of my premiums to bring Shay Adams up to Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Now, I'm not in any way opposed to doing that. I was opposed to doing that before the Liverpool game, to be honest. I was like, why? It's Liverpool, it's a Merseyside derby. Yeah. I know anything can happen, but having just seen what's just happened and having seen what happened with Everton yesterday, I'm kind of a bit more like, anyway, now I might do it. But I'm also in my head thinking, well, it's a hell of a lot easier for me to get from Podence to James Rodriguez without as much disruption to my side in terms of not losing as much premium assets and all of that kind of stuff. But I don't want to own Rodriguez if Richarlison's there.
Right, okay. So you do buy into Anthony's, should we call it the Gary theory?
I do, yeah, because
that's the thing, by the way.
Because I've watched James Rodriguez for the last couple of game weeks, and I've not had a fear of him.
Yeah,
I've had the fear of not owning Calvert-Lewin. Yeah. I've had that since game week one.
Yeah,
but I haven't had the fear with Rodriguez. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Brighton for their part, then Maupay again on the score sheet. Trossard with the assist, and Bissouma with what can only be described as an absolute beauty on the 93rd minute, sitting on your first on your bench. You spent the whole of Sunday morning praying that Podence wasn't going to start for Wolves.
I spent the whole of Friday night praying that Podence would play so that I'd have the right amount of players. Then I spent all of Saturday after that Everton game praying that just anyone miss out. Can somebody just get ill, have the flu, whatever?
Listen, no. the guys in the live chat are liking the Gary theory, by the way. We're going to keep an eye on this, the Gary theory.
Gary, Anthony, you're famous.
If Richarlison doesn't play, does James get forward? Does it make James a better FPL asset? The Gary theory, the Gary paradox, we're going to call that. We're going to see if that comes to fruition after the international break. Leeds 1, Manchester City 1. My favourite game of the season. Best game of the season for me, this, by a long shot. I'm sick of this 7-2, 5-6 nonsense. Really good game, tactical battle. I love watching Leeds United play football.
I like
Leeds. I think they're a very, very good side. I think they'll be absolutely fine in the Premier League, if not top half.
They're a welcome.
They are an excellent side. Addition to the Premier League. And I'll tell you what, City, you know, even without the nine, and they do miss Aguero Jesus as the figure point of at the top of the team, there's no doubt about it. But even if they'd had that player playing, I still think Leeds would have given them a bit of a game. How are we feeling about the Man City assets going forward, though, after that performance? If you had De Bruyne and Sterling,
oh my gosh, I'm glad.
That's a bit of a concern, isn't it?
Yeah.
One or the other now for me.
Neither.
Neither.
That's how I feel. I feel
Trent out, KDB out. What's next?
anything.
All in on Spurs.
Well, I'd have three again then. I think I am in a place with KDB.
I've just got to stop you. Anthony Gary, thank you for the super chat. He's in tonight, Anthony Gary. He of the Gary Paradox. I just woke up in America from a late night of sports betting research, and now there's a Gary theory. What have I missed? Are we calling it Gary theory or Gary Paradox?
It's the Gary theory.
We're going to keep an eye on that, Anthony. Really enjoyed talking to you in the Slack, mate, during that game, because that's basically the only time I've been cheerful about FPL or football over the whole course of this weekend.
I won't have that, because you were very cheerful during the Spurs game.
to be fair. Go on then, Man City.
So my view on this is that I don't want to own a City player until they've got a striker. Because I thought...
It affects them that much, in your opinion?
Yeah, it does. Okay. I thought that KDB would step up and go forward more and be that. I thought he would take it upon himself to do that.
He was still in those areas. He was still getting in advanced positions.
But there's nobody to finish it.
Well, Sterling finished one at the weekend.
Yeah, but how many did he miss? Sterling is not in good form. And I know that he got the goal. And so if you just look at the score sheet, you'd go, oh, okay, Sterling again. But he's not in good form. He was wasteful in that game when they did have opportunities. I am not, at the moment, feeling like they're worth 11.5.
Okay. But a team that I think are looking very much value for money are Leeds United. I think they look fantastic. I like the young goalkeeper. I think he's very, very good. I'm still not clear on the Dallas versus Ayling thing, although Ayling did get in behind City once. If it were not for a good Edison save, would have got on the score sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking Phillips and Harrison in the middle. I like Click because he's on penalties. And I like Bamford because he's got a few goals so far this season. I just don't know where to go. I think, sadly, I would probably look at Click because of the penalties. I feel like a bit of a fraud doing that because there's so many good footballing options that just to go for the penalty taker feels a bit lazy. I really like Harrison. I think he's a really nice player.
Yeah, and obviously didn't play because he's a Man City player. So that's why he didn't play on the weekend.
Yeah.
But we'll be back for the next game.
Let's have a look at
I like Patrick Bamford, actually. I really do rate Bamford. I think he's had a really good start to the season.
The Leeds fixtures, by the way, looking at the Fantasy Football Scout ticker there. If you're a member on Fantasy Football Scout, you can use their ticker on the homepage and you can sort by difficulty. It's a tool that we've said before on these live streams. I use it all the time. Wolves at home next for Leeds. Then Villa, Leicester at home, Palace and Arsenal. They're right in the middle there in terms of fixtures. With Wolves perhaps not looking quite at their best at the moment.
Mm.
Fixtures aren't too bad for Leeds, right?
They've got
to come up against the mighty Villa in a couple of weeks.
Mighty Villa? there's goals in those games.
I think
I'm not sure I would go on the Leeds defence yet.
No.
But,
no.
Equally, can't really pick defenders at the moment because none of them keep clean sheets.
The attack feels safer than the defence, doesn't
yes.
it? Put it that way.
Yes,
let's put it that
yeah.
way.
And they're nice and cheap, so they're nice enablers as well.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about just a couple of other games before we get to our teams. I do want to briefly touch on that Wolves game then. So I was doubled up with Jimenez and Podence in my team. I tweeted during the game something and it got a good reaction on Twitter about the fact that I personally felt like, I know they won this game, like Wolves, so nothing against Wolves. They won the game, it's fine. You can only beat what's in front of you. But I tweeted the fact that I thought, and I think, that Wolves have lost their identity a little bit. And what I mean by that, they've lost a lot of good characters in that team. Doherty, Otto, Traore's now only coming on as an impact sub by the looks of things. This season, great finish from Neto, by the way, today. So if you had him, well done. But it's going to take time for that attack to gel, that new look Wolves attack to gel. And my concern as a Jimenez owner is that even when Jimenez was fit and firing, he famously kind of gets a goal and some bonus points and sort of ceilings out at about 7, 8 or 9. In this new look attack, he looked a bit out of sorts today, to be honest with you. He had chances, but it's Fulham. I'd have chances against Fulham. But I was expecting Jimenez to do more than just the one goal and bonus points today, and he never really showed up for me today. I felt that was a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I think for me, Jimenez has always been FPL gold, and I love owning him, and I hate not owning him. But today, I watched him, and I didn't ever feel uncomfortable. And normally, I feel really uncomfortable watching Wolves as a non-Jimenez owner. I hate it.
Yeah.
But I look around at the people in that same price tag, or cheaper, Dominic Calvert-Lewin comes to mind again.
Yeah.
And I think the ceiling on those players is so much greater than Jimenez, because whilst Wolves are creating chances and they will win games, they don't win games by a lot. They're not that sort of team.
Thrash teams.
No, they're not going to win 7-2 or 6-1. They're not. They're not that kind of team. They will win solidly 1-0, 2-0. They're that sort of team. So for me, with Wolves right now, I mean, I'm on Podence, but that was a mistake. I should have just held Max.
The fixtures still look good for Wolves going forward. And yes,
they do.
St Maximin to Podence, in hindsight, for a hit 2 weeks ago, was a disaster. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Because,
sorry, St Max. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, do we get him back? He's injured, etc.
He's injured again now.
The fixtures still look good. I think having got Podence, you've got to stick with him, haven't you? You've got to show a little bit of faith here. Otherwise, you can be jumping around the 5.5 bracket, missing the points.
Depends, though, doesn't it? Because if I'm taking Trent down and I can afford to upgrade,
oh, yeah,
because
okay.
In my mind, Wolves look like I would rather have Sias at the back. I know that they got hammered 4-0 last week, but that won't happen often. I think I'd rather have a Wolves defender, take the money and invest up on Podence.
Okay, well listen, Wolves defence didn't look great against West Ham last week.
No,
so
they didn't. No.
What a difference a week can make. All of a sudden, Sice gets two bonus points and a clean sheet today.
I nearly brought in Cody this week.
And all of a sudden we're saying Wolves defence. Don't forget they got battered 4-0 at West Ham last week.
But West Ham, what's going on?
Don't know.
We all said at the beginning of the season that how West Ham have got these terrible fixtures and it looks awful for them, and if they've got 1 point by the end of it, it'll be a good thing for them.
Well, interestingly, this game was on at the same time as Southampton, wasn't it? Because I had Ings captain, so I was looking at the Southampton games. I didn't actually watch the West Ham game. But again, Bowen on the score sheet, Antonio as well. I don't know at what stage their fixtures get better, but when they do, Antonio's going to be an asset, isn't he? He's already down to 6-3.
Is he?
I think he's taken a couple of price drops, yeah.
He
will be on, I think, radars pretty soon, Antonio, pretty soon.
When do the fixtures change? I think it's around game week 8, isn't it?
Let's have a quick look at
but
the ticker
equally,
again.
But then equally, if they can beat Leicester, who've just beaten Man City.
Yeah, so let's have a look. We've got, let's go back, because they play Fulham in game week 8. So from game week 8, where are they? West Ham. In game week 8, it's Fulham at home, Sheffield United away, Aston Villa home, Man United home, Leeds away.
Goals in all them.
There's goals for Antonio there, because I just feel like, especially that game week 8, when I think I was listening to Az and Mark on FPL Black Box, which if you haven't checked out FPL Black Box yet with our friends Az and Mark from Fantasy Football Scout, go check out the YouTube channel, go check out the podcast. It's fantastic. They do a really great job of that. It's one of my favourite new podcasts of this season. And Mark was pointing out the fact that in game week 8, captaincy is very difficult. One of the key reasons is that I think it's Liverpool City that week. Yes, it is. Wolves Leicester that week as well. Man United Everton that
week.
Where's
Spurs?
You're absolutely right. Spurs have got West Brom. It's all of a sudden.
Kane!
All of a sudden, you probably want Spurs for game week 8. But West Ham at home to Fulham looks like, as a differential captain, Antonio might be all right.
But equally, Antonio has now scored, is that three or four? Three. That must be three goals for him this season. Or at least a few. He's scored a few times this season. It's not just this game. So if he can score against these clubs, there's no reason why he can't score in the games that are to come. Right?
All right. And from a Leicester perspective, Vardy, again, and he's such a... I just don't get him this season. I don't get him.
No Madison.
No Madison in the team.
If Madison does not play, Leicester are rubbish. They are. And it's
They were all right last week, and Madison only played 20 minutes, didn't he?
But when they came, he came on, and suddenly there was connectivity, and they went, and they had penalties in that game again. And so it goes back to that. Leicester win games without Madison if they get a penalty. Leicester don't win games if they don't get a penalty or they don't have Madison in the side. Vardy is not the same player without Madison.
Okay. Do seem to miss his creativity, no doubt about it. But I think, again, if you looked at Vardy's underlying stats, they're not great again in terms of touches and involvement. So unless you're going to get the penalties, which of course we've seen this season can happen, interestingly it was far less. I don't know whether that was because we're all hypersensitive to it or whether the referees have been told to rein it in a little bit. Potentially there was a couple of penalties that could have been this week that last week would have been given at the drop of a hat, right? But nevertheless, Vardy, he's still going to get you points. But right now, his performances don't warrant 10 million when you can find an extra 0.5 and a Harry flipping Kane. Do you know what I mean? It just doesn't... Vardy doesn't make sense for me in FPL right now. Any more games that you want to talk about in there? We didn't watch the Arsenal game. Interestingly, no Lacazette or Aubameyang on the score sheet, but Pepe and Saka.
Pepe.
I'd need to look at... apparently, Pepe scored an absolute worldie. Arsenal fans, you can get in the chat, get in the comments. let me know. Apparently it's a very good goal. Akin to his days in France, I think, really? From what people were saying. Very good. Need to watch Match Today. Need to watch that a bit more. But again, McGoldrick there for Sheffield United. Be interesting to see what impact Brewster has there now. If you guys missed it, you've been living under a rock for the last week or so, you'll have maybe missed the fact that Liverpool have sold, actually, with a buyback clause and all the rest of it. We've sold Brewster to Sheffield United.
That's
why he lost. He's, well, no, I don't think he was the reason. 4.5 million in FPL as a forward, looking like a pretty good option now. And Sheffield United, having not won a game so far this season, look like they could do with somebody up here up front with a few goals. There we go.
He's the obvious choice now for 4.5.
All right, let's go to our teams for the week. So your team looking pretty good, I think. So this was obviously before the Salah haul, if you can call it that, which I guess you can, two goals. And this was when Trent was getting one, happy days, and he's on minus one. So I don't know what your net score is going to be, but I would say add about 10 points to that. So about 60 points for the week. Before the Liverpool game kicked off, that's when I put this graphic together. You were at an overall rank of 1.74 and on 50 points. Talk us through your team. Obviously, Kane stands out, but McCarthy with a 9 is a really nice score, right?
Yeah, my Southampton boys, I'm so pleased that I kept the faith with them. So pleased, because McCarthy and Kyle Walker-Peters doing absolute business when the rest of my defence were woeful. Eric Dier is still one that could go, but he's wild card. It's a wild card problem, Eric Dier, so that's fine. James Justin came in this week for Lascelles. If only I'd... Honestly, on Friday night, the stress I was under worrying about Podence and Lascelles not playing, I wish to goodness I'd just left it alone, because then Bissouma would have come off my bench. But it is what it is. Justin, you know, fine. Whatever.
Getting those Bissouma points would have been so jammy. So jammy.
Why?
He's never going to score a goal like that again, let alone in the 93rd minute of a game that he's losing 4-1.
Wasn't it beautiful?
But it would have been so jammy if you'd have got
so beautiful. So Salah doing nice Salah things.
Captaincy again. It's so hard to nail a captaincy, isn't it? Despite all these goals flying in, I can't nail a captaincy. It's ridiculous.
I didn't want to go Kane because we were away at Old Trafford and I didn't know how that was going to go. I didn't want to go Fernandes because I didn't want to back him against Spurs. I didn't want to go Salah because he was away from home and the Mane not being there worried me. The COVID thing stressed me and I was like, I don't know if I want to go Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was stressed. And then I looked at the rest of my team and thought, well, I can't trust Shea Adams with it. I'm just going to go with KDB because he was the most obvious next choice and it was Leeds and I thought they might score goals.
Yeah.
It was a bad decision. I should have just gone with Salah or Kane. But equally, I still...
Listen, 50 points is still a good game week. Or 60 or whatever you want. It's still pretty good.
It's fine. I was fully intending to wildcard over international break. I think this is fixable with a -4, -8. I already know that Shea Adams is going to go. He probably is now going to become Ollie Watkins. So that's fine.
You going Ollie Watkins straight away?
Probably.
All right.
Probably go Ollie Watkins. I want to change Davis for Brewster. So that'll give me some options up top. But again, that can wait. That's not an issue. And then I've just got to work out what I'm doing next in terms of the double up with Spurs, what I'm doing with Trent. But all of those things can kind of wait over international break. I'm just going to watch the markets. I've got to decide on Calvert-Lewin and what happens with him. Because that's the other problem I've got, is that if I'm going Dominic Calvert-Lewin, then I've got to take some money out of somebody. But then can that wait a week? I might wait.
Fernandes going to stay in your team, do you think?
Yeah.
Despite what's going on at Manchester United? Still going to get points, isn't he? Still going to get penalties and stuff, yeah.
It's Man United, they get a penalty every day.
Yeah, it's true. So there we go. I think, roughly speaking, about 60 points. While I'm talking through my team, why don't you have a look at Fantasy Football Fix? Have a look at where your overall rank is after that Liverpool game.
It'll be worse, I'm sure.
If it'll tell you.
I'm sure it'll be worse because Salah was so highly...
Well, potentially.
Oh no, it's gone up.
I was going to say, I don't think he was that highly captained this game week. So
60 points, 1.6 mil. Which is actually decent because I was at, 2.... I think I was at like...
You're at 1.7 when you told me earlier.
No, but at the end of last week, I think I was at 2 point something.
Okay.
2.3 or something. So it's a nice,
not that one,
nice,
this one.
Nice chunk of green.
All right, so here's my team for the week. I was on 40 points before that Liverpool game. Then Salah's, I think, got me, 13. Trent's got the -1. So that leaves me on 49, according to Fantasy Football Fix, with an overall rank of, excuse me, still at 2.5, which I was at 3.1 last week, so 2.5. Listen, it's not where I want to be, but I wouldn't have played it any other way. I'm finding it so hard this year to find any sort of consistency. I'm finding myself so average right now. The FPL average, according to Fantasy Football Fix, is 48. I'm on 49. Last week, I think the average was 30 something, and I was a couple of points below. I'm really struggling to sort of just get anywhere near above the average, except for game week one. I had a good game week one. But after that, it's been bang, bang average, either a little bit above or a little bit below. The thing that is hampering me the most is not nailing this captain.
Yeah, me too.
Not nailing the captain is making sure I am bang average and just creeping up in rank or creeping down in rank a little bit. I say creeping up, that is a 500,000 rank rise this game week, so I'm not going to complain about that. But I think if I could nail that captain, and that's what I tried to do this week, I could see a lot of people going towards Kevin De Bruyne, a lot of people going towards Jimenez, rightly so. Didn't see that much of a movement towards Danny Ings.
It made a
lot
of sense.
Thought, I looked statistically at West Brom and I just thought, they are so bad defensively. They give up so many chances. A lot of people saying to me, well, Danny Ings, you know, he's only had like a few shots on target. And I'm like, yeah, but when he does, he scores. He's really clinical. So if he gets those shots against West Brom, which he's bound to, surely he gets the goals. Now, he could have got the goals today. There was one header, I think Sam Johnson did very well to save. And there was even the first goal they scored with Gineppo, I was crying for the Ings assist. It actually wasn't an assist, but I would have loved it if it was. So maybe on another day, Ings gets me a few points and it looks a bit better. But as it is, a two-pointer. Again, I go into this game week with Ings and Jimenez up front playing West Brom and Fulham at home, and I come out with 6 points, including a captaincy. It's absolutely unreal.
I was honestly, your attack this week really scared me. Not owning Jimenez, not owning Ings in those two fixtures, I was seriously worried.
Yeah, I thought I was on for double figures for both of them.
I did, and I was looking at mine, Kane and Adams, thinking, well, I've got the second choice at Southampton because I'd, you know, Ings has obviously been the one that's firing. And all right, I've got Harry Kane, who can always get points, but it's Man United, he's not going to get a hatful. How wrong was I this week?
No,
I was really wrong.
Defence massively let me down. Cole Walker-Peters, no, he's absolutely not let me down. He's done really great last couple of weeks. But Ryan with a zero, James not playing, and then with Lascelles and Davis and Ferguson, obviously, I've got squad issues there as well. Trent with the minus one is not ideal at all. De Bruyne with the blank. Rodriguez is the star of the show, no doubt about it. Without him, I would be way, way down. Nothing for Podence and Jimenez, the two most attacking players on the pitch for Wolves, against Fulham at home, and I get, you know, 4 points. It's incredible, really, 5 points. Nothing for Souček, but that's fine. I didn't expect anything from Souček. I just played him because, you know, I wanted to play him over Lascelles and Davis. So, yeah, the captaincy really, really not doing it for me. Finding it hard, guys, this season. If you're feeling the same, get in the comments below. Let us know in the live chat. If you're finding FPL flipping hard work this year, let me know, because I am. I really, really am. And to that end, I am thinking about pressing the wildcard button. Mm-hmm. I've put a couple of drafts together. And I will talk you through them. I must admit, even having just seen the Liverpool game, I am now absolutely not considering doing Trent and Robertson together. That was one of the key reasons for wildcarding, was I just didn't see any value in any of my defenders. And I just thought that Reece James was going to be a problem. I still think he's going to be a problem, by the way. So I thought, well, let me spend a bit of the money I've got in the bank to upgrade to Robertson, because of all the defences, Liverpool's don't look too bad. Then tonight happened, and I'm absolutely not thinking that anymore. So Robertson will probably become a 4.5, and all of a sudden I have a bit more money to maybe do somebody better than Jorginho. Or I probably have some money to do somebody better than Brewster or Souček maybe, or I don't know. But one thing's for sure, that now feels over-invested in the defence, that wild card, in terms of Trent and Robbo together. Lamptey, I think, is a nice pick, but again, I've got Ryan, so do I want to double on Brighton?
And flagged,
and I think he's come off on both of the last two games, hasn't he? So is that a bit of a concern for Lamptey owners? Jorginho in the middle is a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek pick, but maybe it's not. I mean, if he's going to get me a penalty or two penalties every month and a double-digit haul every now and again, I'm going to take that for 5.1.
But also, the way that that team is structured, you would want to play those front three every week, and therefore you're going to need to be able to bench a couple from that mid.
Well, possibly. I mean, Ferguson would be benched, obviously, until he comes to the fore at Crystal Palace, which I'm still convinced is going to happen. Brewster, I think, can get game time. Right? Mm. Brewster, I think, will play for Sheffield United. They've got Fulham at home next game.
Mm.
That seems like a really good opportunity for Wilder to unleash him in his full home debut, you'd like to think.
Yeah.
I've gone for Dominic Calvert-Lewin at the front there. And the more astute of you will realise that I've taken Rodriguez out of this team, which seems bonkers given he's just had his 18-pointer. But again, I go back to this thing about, well, if Richarlison is going to be fit, Rodriguez is a bit deeper. He's a bit more of a Modric than he is a anybody else a bit further forward. So this is just my initial thoughts. But one thing's for sure, with the Spurs fixtures after the international break, pretty sure I'm going to want Heung-min Son or Harry Kane or Gareth Bale. And as I said before, I think Kane is a brilliant pick, don't get me wrong. And at 10.5, I think you're going to get what you pay for. But Son and Bale, I think, are really going to benefit from this new Harry Kane style of play. But right now, Bale is a risk because Son is in such good form. If Bale suddenly turns it on and is as good as Son, then you've got to consider him for sure. But right now, why would you take that risk when Son is such a surefire bet? He just looks so good.
No, I totally agree with you.
So that's my thinking on my wildcard. Now, I did do...
I just can't wait to have GB back in my team. I've got to have him on my shirt this year.
You can have Son and Bale and Kane in your FPL team.
No, I can't, can I? But Gareth Bale is like, oh, I need to buy a shirt. I need to get Gareth Bale on the back of it. That needs to happen.
So there was another wildcard that I put together. And this is, rather than Jorginho, I've gone for Pulisic in the middle. And I still do like Pulisic in the middle.
Who's that up top?
That's Callum Wilson up top rather than Jimenez. Now, wow. if I think about what I said before about Jimenez and Wolves' identity and etc, etc, then is Jimenez going to be worth the 8.5? Or, as you said quite rightly when we were talking about that, is there value if you drop down? Now, yes, there's value in Dominic Calvert-Lewin. If you go down below that, the value starts to become a little bit more questionable. But you're saving 2 million having Jimenez, having Wilson over Jimenez, and that 2 million makes a Jorginho a Pulisic.
The thing is with the Wilson thing is I think Wilson is a really nice pick if Saint-Maximin is fit and firing at Newcastle. We saw that. We saw the massive difference between Newcastle without Saint-Max and Newcastle with Saint-Max. He was outstanding yesterday. Truly outstanding. Now, let's see what's happening with him with injury, because I think if he's fit again, then Callum Wilson becomes a really nice option.
Yeah. Having said all of this, I feel so bad taking Rodriguez out of my team, because he saved me in game week 1 and he saved me bacon in game week 4. The two home games that he's had, he's been fantastic.
Can I just say something?
Go on.
I don't think your team really needs a wild card.
Well, there is that. I'm considering that.
I'm looking at your team thinking you could take a -4 and that would still look like a really, really nice team for game weeks.
Because now, if you look at the team that's on the screen and I don't do the Robertson transfer, okay, I've got to stay with James. Maybe I need to fix that. But suddenly, I'm not investing so much at the back. So, by the way, my current team has 2.5 million in the bank. So getting from, say, a Podence to a Son is not the end of the world. I'm not that sure. I could probably find that somewhere. I do want to have Brewster rather than Davies at some stage, but that can potentially wait. I'll have Rodriguez rather than Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but on any given day, that can work out for you.
I think so, we need to. Listen. I think personally, my view is that if Richarlison is injured for a couple more weeks, then that wildcard waits a couple more weeks because Rodriguez becomes a really, really nice option for the next few game weeks.
Could do. Yeah, could do. It's Son that I really want. It's
but
Son
you
that
can
I really want.
Get there.
Yeah, Pulisic, Podence to Son without making too heavy a sacrifice elsewhere.
He's doing
for a -4. It feels okay and means I can keep the wildcard in my pocket. So, yeah, I am absolutely considering it, guys, but I haven't hit the button yet because I'm still not convinced that I need a wildcard. But time will tell.
I also think for me, the international break is going to be a thing because we've got some players like Son who you could comfortably bring in knowing they'll be fine because they're not going away on international break.
Yeah.
But you've got others who are going away to play potentially 3 games for their country, and any kind of niggle that comes up over there might force the wild card issue.
Okay. All right, so there we go, guys. Get in the comments below. Let me know what you think about the hashtag Team Lee wildcard. Just before we go, Sam, a quick shout out to Hanno Dorfling. Well done, Hanno. He was our September Manager of the Month over on our Patreon. So thank you to all of our patrons for taking part in the September Manager Month. A slightly different, let's face it, September Manager of the Month. Without the ability to do mini leagues in FPL, we did it all offline in a spreadsheet. I think it worked reasonably well. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I was trying to keep you up to date as much as I could each week on Patreon, in the Slack, and sending the spreadsheet, etc. I noticed actually something Martin Sarling pointed out at the end was that I was adding up people's scores every week without taking the hits into consideration. So I am going to fix that for next week. for next month, it wouldn't have affected the result here. Hanno would still have won.
You did check it, didn't you?
So I did check. Hanno would still have won. So that's absolutely fine. But as of next month, I will be taking
hits
from today, into consideration. But well done to Hanno. Well done to Martin and to Matthew and to Nick, who ran him very, very close indeed. But Hanno is our September Manager of the Month. So well done to Hanno. And if you want to take part...
What did he choose? Because he is in Europe. So what did he choose?
He has chosen a signed Mo Salah street sign.
Is he sure after
So is he sure after tonight? He might want to change his mind. I've already placed the order, Hanno. So hopefully you still want to go for that. Yeah. So he has chosen a street sign exactly like the White Hart Lane one here, but one with Anfield on it. It's obviously got some Liverpool pictures, some Salah pictures, and it's got a Salah signature on it as well. So all of our prizes come from our sponsors, Kicking the Balls with 2s.com, linked in the description below. Go check them out and use the code FPL10% for 10% off your order if you want to go and check them out. Or come and take part in our Manager of the Month competition for October, which is obviously now live, mm-hmm. given that we've had some games. No mini league code. All that you need to do is when you sign up to Patreon, send us in a DM on Patreon or on the Slack your team ID, and you'll be automatically registered into my amazing spreadsheet that calculates all of the Manager of the Month scores, and I keep you guys all up to date with who's doing what and who's where in that league, and you can win one of these fabulous prizes.
You will also, as Hanno will, receive a printout of the league that you won from the guys at Printwork. So if you are, if you follow me over on Instagram, have a look for Printworks, give those guys a follow. Jack makes brilliant prints of leagues. So if you were a Liverpool fan last season and you want to print out of the way the league was, you can. Cricket scores, all sorts of things. But he is producing us Manager of the Month, like almost like a certificate, really, of the league. So yeah, Hanno will be getting one of them in the post.
A bit of extra bonus for our winners there, as well as the ability to star in your own YouTube video as well, as well as the plaudits on Slack as well, that I'm sure all of our patrons will be giving Hanno. So well done to Hanno, our September Manager of the Month, and good luck to all of our patrons in the October Manager Month. And if you want
to
take part,
we need to do it
again,
better, don't we?
Links in the description below, patreon.com/FPL family. We are all over the place as well, as I'm sure you guys all know. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, if you want to listen to the audio as a podcast of this live stream. Have we got any pods and live shows this
week?
Well,
the eagle-eyed amongst you will notice that we were not on the FPL show this week.
Correct.
We were supposed to be on the FPL show on Thursday night, but unfortunately our small one is in quarantine, and therefore we were not allowed in the studio. So Gianni and Holly, thank you very much for standing in for us at such short notice.
She's fine, by the way. It's her school bubble.
She's
that's got a test. Yeah,
she's absolutely fine. Her bubble is just down. Bubble down. So we cannot do live shows for, well, until the week after next.
So we'll be back
in the studio then. But I don't know if we're podding or what this week, but we will be doing a Sam versus Lee. We will do better. Sorry, guys at Scout. We will do better.
Hopefully those videos are entertaining because our picks are absolute rubbish. Guys, thank you for joining us tonight. Hopefully you enjoyed watching me squirm during that watch-along. Man United fans, should we have a group hug, Man United fans? No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Can't you, Spurs?
Until next time, guys, leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button if you're new around here. And we'll see you this time next week, Sunday, 8:30, for another FPL family. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.